Welcome to All the Things with Kristen Schindler. We all have things. Doesn't matter if we're married or single, if we have no children, or if we have 10. Things in life can be overwhelming, and sometimes we just don't know how to navigate them. So each week, you're going to hear stories of hope, of inspiration, and of people navigating the same things that you and I deal with day in and day out. Their stories may sound different than ours, or they may sound just like us. Either way, each week this podcast is going to pour into your heart with hope and encouragement. We are so glad that you are here. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. And today I'm so excited to welcome my friend Sam Fink to the mic space. Sam is a devoted dad, husband, son. He's a professional athlete. He's a small business owner in the field of insurance, and he just brings so much to the table today. I'm so excited for you to hear his story of perseverance and strength and growth. And so welcome, Sam. I'm so excited.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on and for letting me join your awesome community here.
Yeah, so you and I have a connection. I've worked with your mom for a very, very long time, and that's how I followed your story. I feel like even long before we ever met, I feel like I already knew you, and she's, you know, so stinking proud of you. But so let's first start the first question out of the gate for any potential parents that are going to be guests is, where are you in the parenting journey today?
I am a very blessed father of two beautiful little girls, Evelyn and Eleanor. Evelyn is just turned 3 in January, and Eleanor is a year and a half.
Oh, and they are cuties. They are surely.
Thank you.
They are absolutely adorable. Absolutely. I thought it was funny the other day you posted that your one like pretty much like takes no prisoners. She came out of something. And tell us what did she have? She had somebody else's name tag on, or what happened there?
Yeah. So we like all parents, I'm sure, with multiple kids, it's just been hilarious to experience the difference in personalities between our two. Our oldest is very, follows the rules, very gentle, very sweet. And then our youngest is just, we call her the bulldozer. She's into everything. She's crazy, high energy. And we dropped her off at church at the we go to Metro in Edwardsville, and we dropped her at Metro Kids, which both our girls absolutely love. Went to service, came back to get the girls. Evelyn came running out, gave us a hug like she always does, and then Eleanor comes walking around the corner. She had her sweater ripped off, so she was basically in a muscle shirt, if you can imagine that. She had just fallen and bonked her head on a chair like a few days ago, so she had a little bump on her head that she was roughing through. And then we looked down, and she's got another child's name tag on that she must have ripped off and put on herself. That picture perfectly summed up Eleanor.
Oh, that is hilarious. It is so true, though. They're so, so different. And, it wasn't until I was a parent that I saw how clearly different, children from the same biological family are. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, they are so different. That's amazing. And you're a devoted husband. I know you and your wife are, I've followed your journey, and, you make some beautiful videos, and you've done some different video footage just for your own family, and they're phenomenal. You're very, very gifted and talented. I'm just so blessed to have you on as a guest today. So one of the things that you and I talked about was the area of growth. And as one of our things that we talk about with all the things, the area of going and growing, it's really crucial for us as individuals to really find our purpose and find our calling. And the only way to do that is through growth. And oftentimes growth can be pretty uncomfortable. Just like when your wife was ready to have a new baby, like all the changes that were going on in her body and the mm-hmm. stretching, and, so it's uncomfortable, but what you get in the end is obviously the blessing that you're talking about with Evelyn and Eleanor. So what area of growth, where have you seen the most growth, and how have you kind of been able to look back and reflect and see that that's been growth. Because sometimes I think we don't always see that.
It's been a very long journey, I guess, to give the people a little bit of context about me. I think where I'm going is probably in my soccer career the most growth that I've seen. But I went to Wake Forest, which is a perennial top five soccer university in the country. And I say that not to say that, I'm so awesome for going there. I say that because I definitely did not deserve to be on the field there. And I quickly found that out upon getting there. I had lofty dreams and goals for myself, which I eventually attained, but it was through a lot of hard work and the growth, looking back on it, came by way of what I call suffering. And really that's just extreme discomfort, being out of your element and out of your league, out of your comfort zone, and having to adjust, fail a few times, readjust, fail some more, readjust before you finally get it right. And so that's kind of been my journey with soccer especially, but with everything, is just find the area that's going to make me the most uncomfortable and then run as fast as I can in that direction.
Now, was there a time like you left and in the town that you grew up in, pretty suburban, medium-sized population, and then you go to this other, state and you're playing soccer? I mean, was there a time when you got there and you were like, I give up, like I can't do this? Like, did you ever have those times?
Yeah, absolutely. The first time I can remember it coming, honestly, was actually the first day that I arrived at Wake Forest. It was we had left. My mom and I drove across the country with all my stuff in my car on July 3rd. I'll never forget it. But we drove to Wake Forest. I show up there. We stay in a hotel. Get a text from the coach, hey, meet the boys at the track at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. You guys are going to run a little fitness test just to get like a baseline of where everyone's at as we go into summer training. So, all right, great. I'm coming from in Edwardsville. I was very much the top percent of ability in terms of soccer. And so, I thought very highly of myself, thought I was more than prepared. Thought I was fit, tactically, technically ready. I get to the track the next morning. The fitness test was 2 minute or 2 miles and 12 minutes, 12 minute break, and then 1 mile and 5:30. Man, I don't remember my time, but all I remember is that I was getting lapped. And so coming from, I'm on top of the world, this is my dream place, to quickly realizing I am way out of my element. I am clearly the worst one here and not prepared for what's to come. Was tough, and not to just to be, vulnerable and frank. Like, I went back to the hotel room with my mom and I started crying, like, because it was dream over for me in that short amount of time.
Wow. Yeah, you were instantly humbled, friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's like instant humble. That's like unbelievable. But the amazing part is, and the reason why I asked you that question is kind of a little trick question. I remember the conversation with your mom, and I won't forget it because we were making copies in the copy room as teachers, and I asked, "How's Sam doing? How?" And she was just like, "Oh. He's just, it's hard. It's so hard, and I was just like, and I, at that point, my children were much, much younger. So she was in a very different stage of parenting than I was. But I just remember seeing the anguish on her heart because you always wanted to be a soccer player, didn't you?
That's all I
From the
ever wanted to
time.
be.
Yeah. So I can only imagine, like, you have this dream and you've gone through all the steps and now you feel like, wow, I'm not ready for that. But you know what's interesting? I heard a quote the other day, and you probably have heard it, that God doesn't call the equipped. God equips the called. And so it sounds like that was exactly where you were. Like, you were called to do this. And he got all of those doors open for you. but you were not equipped. So how did you make that switch? How did you find that strength to persevere, to keep going? What was it for you?
Yeah, it was definitely difficult, but after the first, I'm an emotional thinker. Like I'm just an emotional guy. I'm emotionally intelligent, which is awesome, but then I also fall victim to responding too quickly based out of emotion. So once I got past that and logically thought about, okay, what's it gonna take to fit in here? Then it was, I mean, the path forward was clear. Like I woke up before everyone else. I got an extra run in, and then we trained, and then I got another one in. So just putting in more effort and more work than the other guys is what I had to do in order to just catch up. Not necessarily get ahead of them, but just be good enough to catch up.
To be able to play on the field. So how is that? And you transitioned from Wake Forest, and you transitioned into the professional sports arena. Hearing someone who says you showed up in the college field and you were like feeling like this is not, I'm not ready. How did you then be able to make that jump? And what did it feel like when you went to professional soccer? Like, what did that do for you mentally in terms of growth? Was it kind of like that next level again?
Yeah, it was. It was. It was. It came with its own set of failures and not feeling like you're good enough. Through college, I ended up playing a lot and playing much more than anyone expected to. But still, even as I came into the end of my soccer career at Wake Forest, there was, a large portion of the coaching staff and agents and whoever else saying like, I just don't know if you have what it takes to be a pro. So you might want to start thinking about something else, figuring out what, you're a great person, you're a great leader, all this stuff, but I just don't know if you have the ability to be a pro. And for me, that was just never going to be an answer. So I kind of, I walked in first day as a pro with a giant chip on my shoulder, ready to prove myself and unafraid of any of the challenges. And that's kind of how I've gone into every season, even now that I'm a more of a veteran and an established pro. Like I still go in with the same mindset of I'm going to prove myself every single day.
There was a song, I had something that was going on in my head the other day before yesterday, and songs speak to me, lyrics speak to me, and there was this heaviness that I had that I was carrying around, this project. I had been approached by someone, and it was completely out of my wheelhouse, completely seemed kind of scary and overwhelming, and I just like said, like, what am I supposed to do here? Like, how am I supposed to do this? And this song came on called "Say I Won't," and it was so powerful because it basically is exactly what you're saying. Like, say I won't do it. And I think that that's so an awesome mindset, because mindset is so crucial for growth. You have to have that mind, that positive mindset. So, do you have anything that you do like on a regular basis, to really hone the mindset of growth and perseverance? Things that you could share with our listeners that you found helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to add, I don't know, I think I missed this in the last question you asked, but I think through all of that pain and suffering, what hindsight has given me is the ability to see that, like, I always said like everything happens for a reason, but I think I always used to think like, everything happens for a reason. And that reason is because something else is about to happen. That's really great, And I don't, the longer I live, the more I'm kind of thinking that I don't know if that's the case. I think if we look in scripture and not to get too spiritual on you here, but just if we look in scripture, like we're called to live a life of suffering and not suffering so that We can prove to ourselves that we are good enough, but more so suffering so that the Lord can shine through and show us, like, look what I can bring you through and look what I can do. And so, as I read through scripture daily, that's kind of what I'm reminded of, is that nothing is too powerful for God to overcome. And that's kind of how I've gotten through things lately. Getting into your most recent question, I've got an interesting relationship with discomfort. I like I said earlier, like, I seek it out. So I start my day every day with an ice cold shower. Not only does it jolt me to life because it's freezing, it also gives me a chance to embrace discomfort from the second that I wake up, so that as I go into the rest of my day, anything that comes up that's uncomfortable, I can tackle it, because I had already tackled that first, jolt of standing in freezing cold water. So that's definitely extreme and not something that I, am saying everyone should do, but that it works for me.
That's a Tony Robbins practice, isn't it? Does Tony Robbins talks about that?
I have not heard him talk about that, but it would make sense if he did.
Yes. I remember hearing him speak where he does ice cold bath kind of thing, and he says he never looks forward to it. It's not like one day he wakes up and he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna jump into a freezing cold bath today." But it's kind of like the mindset of making your bed as well, right? If you start your day by making your bed, you've already accomplished one goal. And it starts that process of going on and on. And I think when you talk about suffering, I think, it's easy for people to think that, oh, like suffering has to be like extreme suffering. But really anything that affects your heart and makes you sad or makes you uncomfortable, and for you experiencing whatever it is personally, and for someone else experiencing what they're experiencing personally, what that does is, you're exactly right, it allows us to then have a better understanding of someone else and their struggle or area that they're kind of like unsure about, whatever it is. And you'll have that experience as a parent as your girls get older, where they just don't think that they're good enough. And you'll be able to use that experience, and it's what's interesting is that as your kids grow, like I had the situation with my middle son not too long ago. He was really afraid of, this was about 2 years ago, he started taking tennis lessons. And he had such anxiety of even just going to the YMCA to take the class. Like he had already been. And we would go like the next week, and he'd be like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't. And so we had to like walk through it. And I'd have to say, what you're feeling is normal. And he's like, but he never saw me feel like I wasn't displaying that anxiety in terms of just daily life. So he didn't see it. And so therefore he thought that there was something wrong by feeling that it was dangerous, or she should avoid it. So we really had to talk through that so that he understood, like, that's normal. Like I used to feel that way when I used to ride horses and have horse shows. Like couldn't even eat anything in the morning. And he was like, really? And I was like, absolutely.
Well, I think what I've experienced through the cold shower thing too is, how I get through that personally is I try to draw into myself and just breathe, which, then the warmth kind of comes from within, and I can kind of deflect all the coldness that's coming down upon me. And so now when I'm feeling uncomfortable in any situation, that's kind of where I start, is I try to draw within myself, start with breathing, and then push past the discomfort that way. And so that's been a cool lesson and byproduct that I've learned from that I was not expecting when I got into it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let me ask you, like you transition from, you're kind of in an in-between space now from with professional soccer, but you also have started this small business. What lessons did you kind of take from your other experiences, and how has that transitioned into the business world? How have you seen growth in that way as well?
Yeah, it's a great question. I kind of where I've excelled in my professional athletics and well, collegiate, I guess, too, career is kind of the leadership realm. Just learning how to lead and manage people and understand their hearts and see their hearts for who they are. And I think that's just a direct transition into my business life is, I'm building a team that we work together to find success, however it is we define success. But the precursor to that is understanding my teammates, understanding my clients, understanding what their needs are, even when they're not sharing them with me, but kind of taking what they're saying and really, really listening and hearing what's on their heart and then responding in a way that resonates with them. So for me, that's kind of been a really cool and easy transition from leading a team to now leading, a business team and a book of clients.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, one of the things, and I'm sure you have a personal mission statement, you know, that you've created for yourself, but I know that when I penned and sat down and really created my mission statement of each day being authentic, vulnerable, and listening to the hearts of others, and when you show up each day and you remind yourself of that. And some days you're better than others, right? Some days I'm sure my kids are like, well, you weren't really showing up well for us today. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that it's perfect, but when you kind of hold that standard for yourself, then you're able to do the work that you're called to do. And I think it's so I love what you're doing because, you know, as someone who's been married now for 20 years and dealt with people in the business world, just running a household and doing everything that we've done. I know personally, having dealt with you and done business with you, like you are what needs to be the standard in terms of business.
Well,
Because
thank you.
I mean, I tell everybody, like, if you need insurance, like call Sam Fink. Like I'm telling you, not only do you know are you super helpful, but you have a heart for service. And sometimes I think people think, oh, well, I'm in the whatever industry, or I'm in this industry, and they don't always show up with that authenticity and vulnerability, and that you are doing it and you're doing it well. How do you feel that you have grown as a husband and father in that area of growth? You're still new, a new dad, you know. You've been, you know, married now how many years?
We just celebrated our 5th wedding anniversary in December.
5 years. You know what my joke is that you know how like when people do like 5Ks or they do their half marathons and their marathons, I always
Yeah.
say that you should have like a sticker on the back of your car for how many years you made it. So you should have like the five. You got the five on there, you know. The heck with those stick figure little kids on the back of your vehicle. You just, you know, claim it. You've made it 5 years. That's a milestone. So congratulations.
Yep.
But
Thank you.
what areas do you think have surprised you the most with growth in terms of parenting and as a husband?
Well, as a parent, I was terrified when I found out that Hannah was pregnant, and not, not for any real reason other than, I think I was just kind of scared at what kind of father I would be. And some of that is, I'm sure, is normal, but it just was not a super normal experience for us. Obviously, I was excited, but I was really, really anxious. And so there's been a lot of, I mean, the second that Evelyn, who's our firstborn, was put in my arms, like it all washed away. And the cool part about being a dad that I've found so far is like there's no magic bullet, there's no magic answer of how to be a good parent. But the best thing that you can do, or the best thing that I can do for my kids, is just show up and just be present and make every, interaction impactful, either by the way that I'm intentionally loving on them or whatever it is I'm doing. So that's been a very cool kind of lesson, I guess, over the years is that I don't have to have it all figured out.
Absolutely. I think that that is right on. And that's another thing that I found is that, to be intentional, like to be that authentic and vulnerable self, to just show up first for yourself, like you're doing with your growth and your personal growth and your personal mindset. But then once that is, once you have that in a good frame and framework and it's a daily, kind of continual thing of strengthening, that allows you to show up strong for your family in ways. If you're not strong yourself, you're not going to feel that you can show up strong for your family. And then you're definitely not going to be able to show up strong for the people you're called to serve because you haven't served the first two, most important relationships in your life. So what do you draw on to be that good father? Like what are the things that do you have certain things that you do that or things that you've read or people that you've talked to? Like where do you get that most of that inspiration?
Yeah, I think three areas kind of immediately come to mind. The first would be having a community of mentor type people that are also just friends that are, parenting and living a life that I want for myself. So just surrounding myself with those people and learning and just kind of watching really. The second is just like a deep introspection into myself. After I do something that maybe I'm not proud of, or I react in a way that I don't think was right, like going back and revisiting that moment and trying to understand like where my heart was at the time that I reacted and why it was that way. And I think that there's a lot of learning to be done in those moments of how we react to things.
Absolutely.
Things have shaped us throughout our lives that we don't even realize until we take a second to sit back and really question ourselves. And then the last area I think is just having a rock solid wife in Hannah who is, everything I've ever dreamed of and more. And I've kind of shared with her, and what we've shared with each other, the type of parents that we want to be. And I just said, look, I want you to just be extremely open and honest and vulnerable with me in times that I'm not meeting the standard that I've set for myself and for our family, because that's the only way that we're going to grow is if we address those things. So she's been awesome and kind of pulling me back when I'm moving away from who she knows that I want to be.
Yeah, that's very important to have that accountability and it's not always that's not always comfortable when you talk about
No.
growth. That's definitely I know just recently my husband I needed to have a surgery and I was kind of putting it off and putting it off and my husband said to me like, okay, you're the person who talks about the things. The H stands for health, so when are you going to put yours in? And I was like, I didn't ask you for that. But he did it because he cares about me, right? But it wasn't comfortable. It wasn't a comfortable conversation. But I think that that's really powerful to have that accountability.
I totally agree. And I think in those moments, like we find ourselves immediately, he says, H is for health. You need to go get yourself sorted out immediately as humans. What's the first thing we're going to do? But, oh, well, you said you were going to start eating healthy and you haven't been eating healthy, something like that, kind of going back at them. And that's really where I've tried to better myself is just before responding to something like that that has nothing to do with what we're even talking about. We're talking about my health, not someone else's. Trying to understand like why did that make me uncomfortable? Oh, that made me uncomfortable because that's actually a point of vulnerability for me that I haven't opened up before. So now I'm going to open that door and explore that. So I think that's important, and you have to be intentional about that because it doesn't just come naturally.
Absolutely. And the thing is, for me, I want to walk in authenticity, right? I want to walk in vulnerability. But then I also struggle with, you're not the boss of me. I mean, I had that from the time I was a little girl. Like, you're not the boss of me. And so although I know, that to be authentic and to be vulnerable and to walk in the truth of what I know is that we all have these things, and doesn't matter who we are, professional athlete or stay-at-home mom, it doesn't matter if we're a dentist or a welder or, someone that's driving the metro bus. Like, we have all these things that we talk about in this podcast. We all have them. It's a level playing field, and how they're, if we don't balance them, then we can't show up strong for ourselves, those we love and those we're called to serve. It just can't happen. And so he knows that, my husband knew that that was an area that I was struggling. And I'm glad that he called me out on it. So it's definitely not comfortable though. One of the things that as a parent, and when you talk about like looking at where, when you respond to something, like where that comes from, I think that it's really important, and I've seen this with my own kids. There's kind of like a two different viewpoints in parenting. Some parents share everything that they struggled with, and like when it's appropriate, and they share it with their kids, and they talk about situations. And then other parents, they parent because they know the situations that affected them, and then they kind of they don't I don't I wouldn't say like manipulate the parenting journey, but they just definitely, like, it's a choose your own adventure novel, and they definitely go certain routes because of things that happen to them. Whereas other parents like explain why we're doing that. Well, because this happened, I don't want you to have the same situation or whatever. Have you and Hannah talked about like moving forward with the girls? Like what that's going to look like? Do you think that you're going to be someone who's going to explain situations with them in depth, or just kind of make the choice? What do you think you're looking ahead to see what kind of dad you're going to be when they're like a teenager? What kind of dad do you think you want to be?
Yeah, that's a great question. Me personally, before, when I'm much like you in that I don't always like being told what to do, but I like to understand why first, and if it makes sense, then I'm all in 150%. So I can already see, funny enough, I can already see Evelyn's mind start to work in that way. Like she wants to know why she can't do this, or why she shouldn't, push her sister, or stuff like that. And so I think that naturally we're definitely will move in the direction of, we don't do this because of this experience, and it shaped us in this way. So that's why this rule is in place. So that's why we don't do that.
Yeah. It's a hard balance. And I'm at the age now where my youngest, she's 10 going on, 18. She's a really good mirror for reminding me. Like just the other day, this was, a couple of weeks ago, my patience was kind of short, and I wasn't feeling well. And she said, "Mom, I just feel like you're under a little bit of stress, and I don't feel like you've had enough time downtime, and maybe you need to make yourself a cup of tea. Maybe you need to call a friend. Like, you're working so hard." And I'm like, "What is she going to be like at 18?" You know what I mean? And it was a really good reminder, or, if I snap and I, if they're not getting to do their work on time as we're homeschooling, and I feel like half the day has gone on, and she'll say, "Mom, you really didn't have to say it that way. You could have said it in a much nicer, kinder voice." And I'm like, "You're right." I mean, it's true. It's completely true. So what do you see, as you move forward? Are there certain areas that you're growing, you're focusing on growth? Are there certain areas that you think, "I definitely know I need to grow more in this area"?
As a kind of as a parent, or as a husband, or
Yeah.
what areas do you?
Yes, it doesn't matter. It's your, you get to pick.
That's a really good A really good question. I think, I'm definitely trying to be better at extending grace to my family when things don't make sense. So particularly in my marriage, which Hannah will tell you, I'm just like the way that I'm wired, I'm just like very black and white and very disciplined and structured. And clearly not everyone is that way, and that's okay. Like there's not a right answer, but pulling myself out of that and giving my family grace when they aren't thinking in that way, it's definitely an area that I'm actively trying to, actively and failing, but trying to improve upon.
Right. Definitely. Grace is one of those things. It's something that we should just like sprinkle around like confetti, right? But it is not,
Yeah, right.
it's like so free to give, but it's almost like sometimes we're like, and we don't even see how easy it is to just extend that olive branch of grace.
Yeah, more. I was just gonna say, unfortunately, it's the hardest with the people that we're closest with and we love the most. Like I don't know why, but like for some reason, it's harder to for me. It's harder to give grace for the people in my inner circle than it is for just the random person.
It is. It's so true. And I have those conversations with my kids all the time. Like, you would never treat, your friend that way who came to our
Yeah.
house. But, like, yes, and it could be silly stuff. Like yesterday, my middle son was making pancakes, and I knew that there were two containers of syrup in the cabinet because I had went in to get the pancake mix for them, and I didn't get the syrup out. And so there was like a little bit of syrup left in the one, but the other one, which had also been open, because you can't just like use all of the syrup in one and then open the next one. You have to have two up at the same time, right?
Yeah.
So I knew that there were two in there. Well, his sister brought the one out and she started putting the syrup on her pancakes, and then she turned it upside down and there was a little bit left. And he automatically, and he's like, "Thanks for using all the syrup." And she's like, "There's some more in there." And she meant in the cabinet, right? Because she also saw that extra syrup. And he didn't know that. He thought she meant like that little tiny bit in the bottle. And he was just like, "Oh my gosh." She just went, "That is so rude. You used all the syrup. I'm making the pancakes for you." And I was like, "Hold up." And so we had to go through the whole thing. Like, okay, that's not what she meant. He's like, "Well, I didn't know that." And I went, "I know, but would you have treated a friend that way who was here that having a sleepover?" No. So let's just dial it back a little bit. And we actually do role play all the time. Like, okay, so how could you have said this differently? How about you could have said, "Ava, I just made pancakes for you, and that's really not nice that you used all the syrup." And then she could have easily said, "Oh, brother, I didn't use all the syrup. There's a whole nother thing of it in the cabinet. Let me get it for you." I said, or Ava,
Yeah.
you could have gotten both things, knowing that there would have, and I said, we could have avoided this whole little, mini dynamite fest for breakfast, and it's like, but
Isn't it funny how that's like a just a I mean that is in itself a microcosm of how we as adults interact too. Like miscommunication is just it would solve like so many problems in our everyday business and personal lives if we would just take a second and communicate.
yes.
But I and I'm not I, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm part of the problem too. But it's just funny that you say that because that example could be inserted into various places along all of our lives, I'm sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's funny because I was telling someone the other day, like, if I had, like, I really think I need to go back and like redo my resume, like from like the last 17 years of parenting. Because like conflict management, like any kind of like hostage scenario, kind of, like anything, like if you look at all those things, like we have experience. So you, I mean, Evelyn and Eleanor are just going to give you more experience on your resume to use as practical experience. So just wait, just wait. Well, Sam, is there anything that you would like, any nuggets, any wisdom, any advice that you would like to leave for our listeners, be it new dads or people in the business world, people who want to push themselves for growth? What can you leave with us as some tidbits of good nuggets?
Yeah, I'd love to just encourage people right where they're at to just, whoever they are and whatever their priorities and whatever their the special parts about them are, just be comfortable and confident in that. Wherever you're going in life, whether it's being a parent or to a business world or into a new friendship, like if you go as yourself and are just confident and comfortable in who you are, you're going to find so much joy through those relationships and those business transactions or whatever it is. And second, I would just say kind of something that I try to strive for every day is the mantra of becoming is better than being. And that's just, it's not always about the goals we set for ourselves and reaching those goals. It's more about who we're becoming, the person that we're becoming along the way as we try to strive for those. So that you can deep dive for an hour into that quote, but just that's something that I try to remind myself of often when I'm maybe down about not reaching a goal or not being exactly where I want it to be, is just focusing more on the process over the end result.
Wonderful. Those are great bits of wisdom for anybody in any season of life for sure. And don't forget to take your cold shower in the morning, start with something hard and just know that you can go, it's all going to be good from there. Well, thank you so much, Sam, for taking the time and being with us today and bringing such good, valuable information and insight and just sharing your heart with my listeners today. It really was a pleasure.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me on and for inviting me to be a part of this amazing community you're building. And thank you for the encouragement you've given me so far and that I know you'll give me through future episodes. So I'm really grateful for
Thank
that.
you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope that you were just as encouraged as I was today by listening to Sam's story, his story of being a new dad and overcoming, the fears of being on that field for the first time and feeling like you just don't measure up. Like, I think we all could resonate with those feelings of worrying, like, what have I gotten myself into? And I'm so grateful for Sam to have shared his authentic heart and his willingness to just be bold and be honest. And I hope that you were encouraged for growth for yourself. We've all got to keep growing. If you don't keep growing in the areas of your life, it doesn't matter what area it is that you pick to be growing in. Once you stop growing, that's it. You're stagnant. It's flat line, friends, and we just can't do that. That's not what we're called to do. So I just challenge you, find an area of your life that you want to focus on and you want to grow deeper in, and your people will be better for it. You will be better for it, and the people that you are called to serve will be better for it. So if this episode resonated with you and Sam's story really spoke to your heart, I just ask that you share this with others, share it on social media, like and subscribe to this podcast, and we'll see you back here next time. And until then, just be encouraged that your story matters, your message matters, and you can show up strong for yourself each day. And don't forget to take a cold shower. Great way to start the day.